Adeptus Mechanicus, Scitarius. Written by Rob Sanders. Read by Toby Longworth. Selected. Dentrica 1 of 3. Engage neural congress. Wireless auto shunt acquired. Uploading. The hierarchy of cogs. The snow and ice were red. Not with blood, though the constant exchange of noospheric chatter between Haldron 44 Stryker's receivers and the Explorator Arc Cruiser Maestral told him that there was a 94.767% chance that they eventually would be. Now, they were red with algae. The deep freeze of Perborea allowed little light down to the surface, but what gloom made it through the maelstrom fueled the blooms that streaked the ice world's face. Stryker was Scitari. From the hydraulics of his legs and the revolving joints of his arm appendages to the acknowledged frailty of his flesh. He was as the machine god continued to make him. Forge raised on Satzika Secundus, Stryker had followed the patient path of protocol and worked his way up through the hierarchy of cogs. Secondary target identified, Stryker reported. Stryker's cranial engineering sizzled with the static of an uplinked intrusion, sound that bypassed the ears. Visions that were experienced by the mind and not the eye. Binaric cant, novabyte and noospheric blurts overlaid one upon the other, neuro-synced straight into the brain. Orbital magna picts, sensory feeds and hollow diagrammaticals drop from the Explorator Arc Cruiser above like a thunderbolt, straight into the Scitarius's mind. The streamed doctrina imperatives all carried the authorizations of Magos Omnid Torcora, but Stryker experienced the intrusion as the pure will of the machine god. All forge-worlders, from the fabricator-general to the lowliest servitor, made up the Corpus Mechanicus, glorifying the machine god incarnate with their artifice, both in their workings and their base organics. The Omnisire found expression in and acted through them all. This was the motive force, the holy transference of data and instruction down through the stratified ranks of the Adeptus Mechanicus. Stryker, like all the Scitari of his legion, was possessed of a fraction of the machine god. He was one of a billion, billion parts working in magnificent union and harmony. It was through the priesthood and techno-magi of the cult Mechanicus that the Omnisire made his needs and wishes known. As hosts of the machine god's unquestioned divinity, the magi spoke the word of the god in his many favored cants and streams. Stryker felt his doctrinal wetware respond.
This mission has been blessed, Stryker unit,
Magos Torcora told the Scitari officer.
By the cog that turns, by the oil that eases, by the spark that leaps. We do the great maker's work here. This most holy of missions does not allow for complications. You understand me, Stryker unit. Identify the secondary target. To break with me and the mission is to break with him. Receive of his blessing and remember all that you have achieved in his name. Know that you will achieve so much more.
In the great gears of the Mechanicus machine, the machine that made war in the name of indomitable progress and majesty reclaimed, the fighting constructs of the Omnisire became greater than their parts. Haldron 44 Stryker had striven to become greater still. Stryker remembered. He reviewed a lifetime in service to the machine god. How he had been a star-gazing menial, whose weak flesh was a blueprint of tattoos depicting the holy bionics and augmentations he had dreamed of one day possessing. He remembered a miserable eternity as a citizen factotum and his subcutaneous electronic barcodes that burned with accumulated tallies and commendations. As an auxiliar forge sentinel, blessed with his first augmetics, He had been given the honour of guarding Isotope Scrap Depot 36463. His record of off-world service in the numberless ranks of the Legionis Scutari would have been a credit to any cybernetic soldier of the Cult Mechanicus. As Sub-Alpha, Princeps, and Alpha, he had led clade units of his own. He had earned the Crux Mechanicus and had risen through the ranks. Now, with a small legion his to command, he was Alpha Primus Haldron 44 Stryker of the Deuteron 4 Praetori, seconded to the infamous explorator Omnid Torcora. Stryker's attachment of Sicarian infiltrators, selected from his expeditionary legion for the mission, were spindly silhouettes in the snowstorm. The integrated sensors of his helm immersed Stryker in a blizzard of data. Omnispectral lenses and bleak optics filtered the red static of the storm. His acquisition reticules fixed on the outline of each of the Scutari soldier operatives in turn, cycling through radiant energy wavelengths. Stryker's cogite cores decrypted and processed the different data streams fed back to him through the Arc Cruiser's phylactics. The Primus experienced the ice world as no one man of mere flesh and blood could. He saw his column of infiltrators from orbit. Through the Arc Cruiser's arrays, he acquired the meager heat of the Scutari organics and the power signatures of their bionics on the razored apex of the icy ridge. High-gain antennae from a swarm of disposable probes returned to him the data betrayal of the Killclade's own Vox missions and uplink designations. He felt the air-to-ground surveyor pulses of the Mechanicus Sky Talon, holding position kilometers above them. He became one with the orspectral returns of the Onager dune crawlers that had transported them across the desolate ice plains. The simultaneous data streams met in Stryker and gave the Scutari commander a hollow-dimensional fix on their position. All this, Stryker processed through the busy warmth of his cranial cortex. The Sicarians of the Infiltroriad Spuria 660 fired the climbing spikes of their cloven metal feet, making progress up the frost-shattered ridge. They were led by the detachment's commander, Princeps Talus Spuria, 1 of 10, who, like his infiltrators, advanced with his right-hand weapons cradle collapsed and locked to his back. The soldiers moved with a hydraulic choreography, bionics trudging in unison and their mantid gait in sympathy with the leading Princeps. To Stryker, Talus Spuria 1 of 10 and his 9 other infiltrators appeared like long-legged insects, from their gangling advance to the dome of their helmets and bulbous optics. Princeps, all stop, Stryker streamed. His order received an immediate response. The infiltrators became still, like figures frozen in a pict. Standing like statues on the ridge, dusted with red snow, the Scutari and their Princeps awaited further orders. Bringing the metal digits of a bionic gauntlet to the side of his helm, Haldron 44 Stryker made a series of delicate adjustments to otherwise chunky instrumentation. A crest holder ran transversely across the top of the helmet, the demicog of a Primus. The veins and crenellations of the plume crackled with the flow of transmitted data. The silky foil of his officer's greatcloak, the rust red of Mars, flapped behind him in the storm, acting as a receptor-threaded receiver. Haldron 44 Stryker felt the presence of the Omnisire echo through him. Through his neurocircuitry, through the synaptic flash of sparks between his brain cells, through his very soul. The mind of the Primus flashed with orbital or spectra, static-grained captures and holodiagrammatic representations. Binary streamed through his thoughts, while data-layered code emissions and the cacophonous cant of lingua technis laced through him. Stryker became momentarily one with the downlink and saw the energy signatures of his targets moving across the blood-streaked ice of the valley. Several kilometers ahead of them, the data visitation revealed a large life form. No doubt something the targets were stalking while Stryker and his infiltrators in turn hunted them. Silhouettes of codified fauna native to Perborea flashed up beside the energy signature. Another gift from Magos Torcora and the Maestral. None seemed to match the form, however. This didn't surprise Stryker, as Perborea Prime, being a backwater ball of ice in a hazardous system, was not a well-documented world. Secondary target unknown. Stryker streamed back to the Ark cruiser, his thoughts piggybacking the phylactic shunt between the Skitari, the Onager dune crawler, the Sky Talon, and the Maestral. Collating. Crunching up through the ice, weaving through the column of Skitari, Haldron 44 Stryker assumed position on the razored ridge. Looking down through the bloody, howling maelstrom into the valley below, the Primus could barely make out their targets. Magnocular lenses on his helm whirred to focus, and filters cycled, but the targets were still just a signatured blur through the blizzard. Stryker lifted his left arm. It was an augmented appendage terminating in the bionics of an armored gauntlet, and he held it up like a feudal world lord flying a bird of prey. Instead of a raptor, however, the Skitari officer carried an info-slave servo skull, which bore the designation Phrenos 361. The construct was fashioned after the cog mechanicus, being half-bone and half-cogitator. A cog turned about the skull like the rings of a gas giant, spinning in place on a magnetic field. The barrel of an arc blaster protruded from the servo skull's underjaw, ready to drop and lock in firing position. A bundle of prehensile interface cables drooped down from the stub of Phrenos 361's spine, anchoring it to Stryker's arm.
"Get me a visual," Stryker ordered,
launching Phrenos 361 into the crystal cold air. The servo skull retracted its serpentine cables, its rotating cog speeding to a magnetically accelerated blur. Angling the blade cog about it, Phrenos 361 was able to fly down the side of the ridge. Stryker watched the drone surge away. Cycling through the optical arrays of its augmented eye sockets, Phrenos 361 transmitted a picked feed of its progress across the algae-streaked ice. The servo skull's data was uploaded to a visualization processor in Stryker's mind. Buffeted by the streaming blizzard of red, Phrenos 361 cut through the freezing maelstrom, closing on the targets. Shapes smudged into the storm became silhouettes. Phrenos 361 counted 23 in total, the outline of each figure searing to brightness before fading away as the servo skull catalogued them. In the main, the column was made up of lumbering brutes, buried in ragged skins and furs. They pushed their exhausted carcasses on, leading with the jutting underbite of their tusk-crowded jaws. Smaller, sinewy creatures struggled through the red drift about them, large noses protruding from hoods and the shredded cast-offs of their brute compatriots. Phrenos 361 flashed through the outlines of individual limbs and a stream of data analyzing bodily proportion and ratio. The dimensions of the figures confirmed what Stryker already knew. Their targets were Xenos. They were greenskins.
"Proceed," the Primus ordered, prompting the servo skull to move on.
Haldron 44 Stryker had extensive experience of orcs. His service record indicated 2,372 confirmed greenskin kills across a range of war zones, but he had never encountered Xenos such as these before. The creatures he had expertly dispatched on Antioch, Ptolemy Fall, and Feta Secunda were monsters in love with their godless machines and the devastating capabilities of their primitive Xenos technologies. The column of fur-shaggy aliens Phrenos 361 hovered above sported no such developments. The greenskins were barbarians in the truest sense of the word. They dripped with simple jewelry, bones, teeth, and scavenged shiny objects, threaded through their ears, lips, and green flesh. The only protection they boasted was the resilience of their monstrous frames and the furs that hunched their backs, trailing red through the snow. Their only weapons seemed to be simple stabbers and choppers, crafted from crude pieces of recovered scrap, dagger shards, spear-sharpened struts, and axes fashioned from twisted metal. The green-skinned savages didn't seem to notice Phrenos 361, who surged ahead of the loping column through the streaming snow. The picked feed, relayed back to Stryker, showed little more than the red static of the valley floor. Finally, the servo skull closed in on a larger creature. The blur of the alien monstrosity seared into focus as Phrenos 361 advanced as close as it dared. The creature's outline flashed up against a cycling catalogue of potential matches, but in the end, the Mechanicus survey files failed to identify the beast. Bigger than a dune crawler or tracked conveyor, the beast slid through the snow and ice like a slug, warming the freeze beneath it to create a slippery trail that carried its bulk. Its blubbery body was covered with a carpet of shaggy hair, while its head was decorated with a quartet of antlers. A thin membrane extended between the network of prongs, filtering the howling gales of their red bounty. Trapped algae funneled down through the hollow antlers and feeding tubes into the alien herbivore.
"Data collated. Threat assessed," Stryker told Magos Torkora. "Conclusion, non-threatening. Mission proceeding." "Diagnostic quorum consulted," Torkora told him. "Assessment confirmed. Wait. Passing. Magos?"
Stryker's mind became a kaleidoscope of alerts and warnings. Data feeds and hologrammaticals told him that an inbound meteorite was due to impact in the vicinity. Perborea was a crowded system, awash with debris and the planetary wreckage of ongoing calamities. Several such impacts had struck the mountains, and the Maestral had suffered collision damage from a number of close encounters.
"Incoming,"
Stryker transmitted to his infiltrator Clade. The gangly Skatari went down on one knee in unquestioning choreography. The Primus joined them as a meteorite, bright and white, blazed through the sky overhead. It narrowly missed the ridge upon which they were positioned. Following the path of the meteorite, Stryker's cogitators and targeters flashed estimated trajectories through his mind. He watched it strike the valley floor. A red cloud rocketed angrily for the sky, with a blast wave radiating out from the crater.
"Brace for impact,"
the Skitari officer ordered. His modulations were calm, but insistent. As the blizzard died about them and the wall of snow and fury roared up the valley side, the Sicarian infiltrators shot anchors and cables into ice at their feet.
3, 2, 1, impact!
Hadron 44 Stryker felt the blast wave hit him. The elemental force almost took him from his feet, as it would have done for the rest of his Skitari, but for the anchors that kept the spindly soldiers from flailing away. With his great cloak whipping about him, Stryker reviewed his sizzling feeds. The greenskins had marched on with indifference through the screeching turmoil of ice and snow. Several of their diminutive attendants had been blown some distance away, their rags catching the force of the blast like kites. The Primus watched Phrenos 361's picked feed pitch wildly as the servo skull fought to ride out the storm. As the howling impact hissed to a stop, Stryker and the Infiltroriad Spurious 660 found themselves submerged in a thick, bloody haze of ice and algae. The meteorite crash had kicked up colossal amounts of snow into the atmosphere. Stryker knew that if he didn't act quickly, his green-skinned targets would become lost to him. He was not the only one to come to such a conclusion, although it was difficult and pointless, attempting to separate thoughts of his own from those visited upon him by his tech priest master up in orbit. In the end, they were all gifts of the machine god, regardless of the mind from which they originated.
"Reacquire targets," Omnid Torkora ordered. "Priority one."
Stryker acknowledged the order with a noospheric blurt of a salute.
"You heard the Magos,"
Stryker told Talus Spuria 1 of 10, and his infiltrators.
"And through him, the Great Maker. Reacquire the targets. Triple time it."
With the clunk of climbing anchors released from the ice and whipping back on their cables, the Princeps and the Infiltroriad Spuria 660 launched themselves over the frost-shattered ridge. Reaching out with the fingers of a gauntlet to steady himself, Hadron 44 Stryker followed, skidding down the valley side after them with his great cloak flapping. The blood-red snow of the slope streamed about the Skitari officer and in his descending wake.